Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
If they're one and done, that's a colossal failure. They got to get through at least two games, but if they don't, to me, it says, okay, guys, it's time to start turning the page. That is Monty Poole of NBC Sports Bay Area on What Is At Stake. He joined the Warriors flagship station. What's interesting about that is even if they do get into the playoffs, I would think you still need to start turning the page.
I would think so. I mean, yeah, like you said, like you're battling for last place right now. Even if you do end up making the playoffs, you were an 8 seed.
Right.
Who knows what ends up happening against OKC, but do you really feel like you want to lock down what you got going on right now? I mean, it just feels like the Warriors, even last year, I would argue that you probably should have turned the page on the big three and got moving on that. I would definitely say no matter what, they should probably be considering what's the other side look like.
Coming up, we are going to play some sound from Draymond where he uses a term for the Kings that I asked Chris, hey, have you heard of this before? And Chris said no. And
finding
I
new
had,
ways to insult us.
Yes, and it's kind of a backhanded compliment, so you won't want to miss that. But we want to open up the phone lines right here, 916-339-1140, and ultimately just assess reigning coach of the year, Mike Brown, on this season. Earlier, Chris, when we were talking about the fact that Mike Brown has an opportunity to make some changes and you want to see different things, this is from the 916. So you're saying Mike Brown needs to coach and have a game plan and tell these 20-year-old kids, or a little bit older than 20, exactly what's needed to win, ... Yep, for sure. Wish we had done that at the end of the Suns game, and maybe we wouldn't be here. That's from Folsom Mike. So
feels like you're projecting there, Mike.
Well, it feels like this is an opportunity for the players, and it's also the opportunity for Coach Mike Brown, who I don't think that a lot of people are coming down his road, but these blown leads, everybody's going to get some blame, and Mike Brown definitely is going to get some blame. So as you look at this season, I guess how hard is it to assess Coach Mike Brown before this game? How much is riding on this game? Because my guess is that you think not that much.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think that much is riding on it. I think in general, I would say the hot seat is starting to get hot for not just Mike Brown, but for Monty McNair as well. I mean, especially if this team does end up losing this first play-in game and ultimately you pretty much are deemed as the 10 seed in the Western Conference when things are all said and done. I think both of those guys, and when I say hot seat, I just mean you have a year to kind of get the ship straight again, or else we might need to consider steering to another course. Mm-hmm. I think they definitely don't need to be fired. I don't think their jobs need to even remotely come in question, but absolutely you have to establish the fact that if we have another year like we just had, it's not going to be good enough for us. So, you know, you're allowed to kind of let things slip. Again, I would continue to ask, what specifically about Mike Brown are people complaining about? People say no game plan. Well, what does that mean? Are you saying the Kings aren't a good first half team because they've been one of the best first half teams in the league? If you're saying he's bad at adjustments, I think that's something. The Kings have been bad. You've chronicled it here, especially recently. The third quarters have been tough. Mm-hmm. But how much of that as well is look at their shooting percentages in those quarters. Are they just missing open looks? I think there's a tons of reasons. So if you want to give me specific things, not you, but if in general people want to give specifics of what they haven't liked of Mike Brown, I'm very willing to hear it. But ultimately, I think it's been an up-and-down season. What are you supposed to do? Kevin Huerter shot 36% on the same threes he was taking last year. I don't think that's Mike Brown's fault. Keegan Murray didn't knock down the same amount of shots that he hit last year. I don't know if that's Mike Brown's fault. You could say, hey, maybe going away from Harrison Barnes as much as they did early in the year, you can put that on Mike Brown, absolutely. I'm trying to think of something. If you didn't like his rotations, if you felt like all year he never really gave Sasha a good enough chance, I definitely will hear you out on there. I think Mike Brown had a good year. He definitely didn't have a great year. I mean, when we talk about some coaches who have been able to elevate their rosters while other guys are out, I definitely don't think the Kings did a lot of that. But, you know, he had the gusto of putting Keon Ellis into the rotation and you know, was willing to work it out with Keon. You know, he ultimately did find that Alex Len was the backup center for this team, and you know, going to JaVale as often as they did wasn't the right move. So I think there's been some hits. I definitely think there's been a lot of misses, but I think everybody has played their own equal part in it. So I wouldn't put his blame above anybody else's. I don't know if I would put his blame necessarily at the bottom, though.
Sabonis played 82 of 82
yep.
games. Fox played 74 of 82. Monk played 72 of 82. Murray played 77 of 82. And Barnes played 82 of 82. If I told you that at the beginning of the season and then said they ended up being a 9 seed, I think the question, yeah, the question is, if somebody regresses.
They also won 2 less games than they won last year. So if I told you Mike Brown had the same roster, except Malik Monk misses the final 10 games, mm-hmm. Kevin Huerter shoots 4% worse than he shot last year from 3, Keegan Murray doesn't take that much of an offensive mm-hmm. leap, and none of the offseason free agency moves work out, the Kings finished 2 games worse than they were last year. I won't tell you seeding, I won't tell you anything else. I'm just going to tell you that the Kings won 2 games less. A little bit of disappointment for sure, but ultimately, I think 2 games isn't that bad, all of those factors considered. Now, you could definitely say, hey, they were in position to easily win 4 more games because of the amount of blown opportunities that we've talked about. 13, 15 double-digit blown leads, like, you could definitely argue 5 of those right. go in your way. It's a completely different season. But I think you have to take those on individual. What happened in those games? Did people not hit shots? Were the Kings not ready? Was the game plan there, but the players didn't come out with the necessary attention to detail? I don't know, but I think it's too tough. It's too long of a season also to just blanket and say, this all ends up coming down to Mike Brown. I just think, I kind of think that's lazy.
Well, I think the bottom line is when coaches get my issue to some degree with what you're doing, it's not really an issue with what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of if people thought like, I just need it just to flip it back to you. It's like specific issues that would constitute a coach being fired.
Yeah.
Coaches get fired all the time because
sure,
shots
it might not be their fault
get
not.
Missed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
But
that's fine. He can get fired. Yeah. I just think people are saying he's doing a bad job.
Sure.
And I think those are two possibly different conversations. Should he get fired versus is he doing a good job, mm-hmm. I think are two different things. And I just think too much I see people saying he's not doing a good job. And I've just seen way too many coaches actually do bad jobs to say Mike Brown isn't doing enough with this team. Could he do more? Is there better options? Maybe, like, I'm not saying Mike Brown is the best coach in the league and we shouldn't question anything he does, but there's a lot of bad coaches out there, and Mike Brown, to me, just is not one of them. You can even look at career winning percentage. I know Mike Brown's been in some great situations, but this dude, let's not forget, like, he walked into this situation just as everyone else has with just losing in their history, and he was the one coach who didn't fall victim to losing. Dave Yeager was a great coach in Memphis. Mm-hmm. He still fell to losing. Luke Walton, I'm not going to throw Luke Walton in there, but there's been coaches in the past here.
Yeah.
Even Mike Malone. Look at Mike Malone now, and you can argue the Kings got him maybe a couple years too early in his coaching, but Mike Malone was a great coach. He gave us about as much hope as possible. Mike Malone still had losing seasons here. So I push back when people say Mike Brown isn't doing enough. Because watching how he handles his team and how the team respects him, I've just seen way too many situations where that hasn't even been close to the case. And I'm not saying he's blameless at all, and I'm not saying he won't be fired or anything like that. But I just think I get a little upset when people are placing the blame too much on somebody who I just don't think deserves it.
Yeah, and it comes – I think the tough part is –
Monty McNair also.
Yeah, like, Monty McNair deserves some – the thing is, you're going to get different answers when it comes – what you're saying and shots not going in, you're just always going to – and that's what sports talk is. You're always going to get a different answer as to whose
right.
fault it is
yeah.
because when you – yeah, when you have that conversation of, well, he's not shooting the basketball and he's putting people in the right positions, at some point someone's going to say, I mean, clearly it's just whatever it is, it's right. not working. Right. Whatever it is.
I could even push it on myself. Mike Brown's practicing him too much, and that's why they're tired. That's why they're not making shots, is because every time they land 30 minutes later, they have a practice. So, yeah, absolutely. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and some people don't see it that way.
916-339-1140. Let's get to Ken, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Ken? What you got for us?
Hey, man, I gotta say, man, I want to give Mike Brown some love, man. We're only a few games out from what we won last year. You know what I'm saying? We have to see that, man. That's consistency. He has kept us consistent with what we got. Our bench is terrible. You know what I'm saying? Now we can see how Monk is a big part of our team, man, big puzzle to our team as far as winning some of these basketball games. Because we already know a lot of these basketball games was won by Monk, by Monk being in the lineup. You know, so I'm going to say Duarte has not panned out, and you guys already have spoken on it. But you guys, you got four guys that have not panned out on the bench, who has not helped us at all. And Mike Brown continues to coach this team to success. I understand we're in a playing game, but if we were on the East Coast, man, we would be fifth or sixth in the playoffs, just waiting for the playoffs to start. We have to understand, man, this guy is a hell of a coach. And, man, we should be blessed to have him. You callers out there, fans out there, call in. Name a coach that would be a successful coach that you would be that would be better than Mike Brown. Call in. I want to hear his name, because his name is for Sacramento, for us to be successful, to get better. McNair, you got to get us a better bench. We got to get some of these, you know, scrubs off the squad. I guarantee you, man. You give Mike Brown more to work with, he'd be even more successful. And I'm out.
Thanks for the call, Ken. Yeah. Hey, you want to give flowers to Mike Brown? We appreciate it. And if you're going off of, who was it, Bill Simmons, who said that the Kings have the worst three through nine?
3 through 9 is what he said.
So was that the Western Conference or every? It had to be the Western Conference.
I think he was talking Western Conference specifically, but of the 10.
Yes. So of the 10. According to Bill Simmons, the Kings have the worst 3 through 9 in their rotation. So if however much you want to believe or you know, feel like Bill Simmons is on the right track, then you're talking about, well, you're missing Malik Monk, you're missing Kevin Huerter. This is who you got out there. You had a tough end of the season. The way I look at it is it could have been an opportunity. Could have been an opportunity for De'Aaron Fox to move up that ladder of being him and being a guy. Mike Brown, you could have crawled up the ladder as well as being a coach that can Eric Spoelstra-esque, and do some things like that. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen, but they still have an opportunity to get into the playoffs. And that's what,
and change some narratives, too,
and change some narratives on the way, and at least pack up the foe from the Bay Area. We see you on the phone lines, JR and Ross. We will get to you when we return. Also, Draymond calling the Kings a basketball version of a game manager. That's how I took it. How will you? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
From the 916, the fan saying it's Coach Brown's fault. Obviously, haven't been Kings fans for that long. I think he hasn't been perfect, but doesn't deserve the negativity.
I would love to hear, I know the caller just said it, but I'm going to echo it. Like, if you want Brown out of town, like, who's the person out there that you're rubbing your hands together like Birdman, and you're like, okay, let's get Brown out of here and Kenny Atkinson, come on down.
Well,
like,
in basketball, it is interesting, or in the NBA, it's different than football. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. In basketball, or in football, it feels like a name pops up because of a team. Because it's clearer because there are more clear offensive coordinators, right. defensive coordinators. Yeah. So a defense takes a leap.
Right. They are responsible for the Seattle situation. Yes. McDonald.
Or Robert Saleh or D'Amico Ryans. Exactly. Hey, okay, cool. You're going to build this around it. Sure. Or Kellen Moore, okay, an offensive guy. He's the hot new offense. Let's grab that guy.
In basketball,
and yes, exactly. In basketball, those positions aren't really as clear. Yeah. So I feel like
Jordy's the Kings defensive coordinator. Nobody who's seen the Kings play defense the last 2 years would say, give me a piece of that.
I want that. Give me Even that. Though they got the 14.
That's right.
They got the 14 on the season. So yeah, I don't necessarily know where you would go, but I do know that, you know, the grass isn't always greener. And if
the finalists besides Mike Brown were Steve Clifford, who is now fired again from or let go again from Charlotte, and our friend Mark Jackson, who is still doing the broadcast.
Yeah. I mean, 916, Folsom Mike throwing out Mark Jackson's name. I mean, I don't know. I'm the type in all sports, I'm typically just out on the normal rotation.
Absolutely.
The usual suspects. Yes. I know Mark Jackson hasn't had a job, but his name has been thrown around. I would rather not that we're not having this conversation, but whenever I look at coaching, I just always would go not necessarily younger, but just someone new.
No, absolutely.
Right? If these guys that just bounce around the merry-go-round of coaching, I've never loved that too much. To be fair, Mike Brown was part of that, but it's worked out so far. 916-339-1140. Let's get to JR, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, JR? What you got for us?
Hey, De La Styles and Wet Blanket. How you guys doing?
We're great.
It was fun yesterday. Hey, Brown's not the guy that turned over the ball against Phoenix with less than a minute to go.
No, that was the most.
Yeah, that would be that guy, which I know we give him cred, but that game changed our whole standing here.
Yeah.
That one play, and then, that hurts still.
That was terrible.
Good, I'm glad I have a lot of cold beers in my fridge. Anyway, as far as...
We got to go, JR. That was JR. We'll drop that.
That was JR in peak form there.
But, yeah, so the bottom line is there are other people that you can point to.
That's right.
That had issues throughout the season, and most importantly, you know, I will say that I sent you a text and I said, hey, that's a bonus. I feel like we were killer. I think we were all just so confused as to what happened,
right,
that I don't think that Sabonis got enough
You're right.
That was awful.
It was terrible. It didn't make any sense either. Like, looking back, I thankfully have not looked back at that play since it happened, but just remembering it, watching it live, like, it was a terrible read. Like, De'Aaron was covered completely by, I think it was Bradley Beal, and it didn't make any sense for Sabonis to make the pass. And it's really frustrating because he had just made a similar play. I can't remember what game it was, but he had sealed the game for the Kings doing the same exact thing, playing the same read on that inbounds pass, and he just threw it to the other team, man. And JR's right. Like, you could argue that really is the reason why the Kings are in the situation they are in now. If they would have won that game, it would have put them right there with Phoenix as the 7 seed. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, with New Orleans losing, the Kings might have they might have slipped into the 6th seed if New Orleans would have lost. And
no, because
I'm not 100%.
If the Kings would have beat Phoenix,
they would have been even with Phoenix at that 7-8, and then winning on Sunday and the Pelicans losing on Sunday might have. They might have still been in a tie with New Orleans, but I would have to double check it. But it definitely, I mean, regardless, it was a huge, huge turnover, because at the very least, the Kings could have been in that 8 seed.
Yeah. Well, and that's what happens when you have Sabonis is not a ball handler.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Malik's probably got the ball in his hands at that point.
Yes.
Right?
He has the ball a lot. One, because of injury, and two, just because of the type of offense that they run. But when things get tight and people are looking for steals and things like that, do you really want the ball in the hands of a big? And the answer is no. The answer is no. Yeah. But you had nobody else at the time.
Yeah, it really is symbolic of just where this team is at. I mean, ideally, you're right. Like, Sabonis doesn't have the ball in his hands, but this is where the Kings are at this point in the season. And you know, I said it when De'Aaron was missing those shots against OKC. At the end of the day, your season's always going to come down to the best players having the ball in their hand, and you just have to hope that your players are good enough to make the right decision in those moments. And, you know, De'Aaron definitely has let this team down with the end of that Suns game, with the end of that OKC game, and definitely Sabonis let this team down with that pass against Phoenix and that foul as well. Like, the foul that he had on Nurkic that put him at the line to hit those free throws was terrible. I have no idea what – I think Mike Brown after the game was complaining about it, and
well, he did say, "I gotta see it," and I hope I'm wrong. Oh, but we saw it.
He was not blocking out. He was hugging him.
Yeah.
He was hugging Jusuf Nurkić on that rebound. So they just have to be better in those moments, and you know, definitely, you could argue that they shouldn't have to be leaned on as much as they are, but this is where it's at. I mean, Jalen Brunson isn't shying away from moments like this and has definitely stepped up for his team. Mm-hmm. You were just kind of hoping that the Kings would have had similar moments for them, but ultimately, definitely this 10-game stretch here without Malik has just been disappointing. I mean, yeah, everything that you could have done that would have felt positive didn't end up happening, and now you're in a situation where it's about as bleak as it can, and your back is to the wall. Mm-hmm. And you got one more chance to try and redeem this thing, or else I think ultimately you're just going to leave a really bad taste in everybody's mouth.
A warrior that you could worry about is officially out. We'll tell you who that is when we return. Also, Draymond Green calling the Kings some version of a game manager. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
GP2, who I believe left the game during the in-season tournament as well, GP2 will not be playing tomorrow night. And if the Warriors were to win, he wouldn't be playing the next game either. GP2, man, I mean, you know, Bay guy, obviously we know about his pops. He just has not been able, after what he did, and even that championship run, that wasn't his fault. That was Dylan Brooks whacking him in the head. But GP2, I mean, crazy story for GP2. Was almost out of the league. He was in the G League. Mm-hmm. He was essentially starting to apply to be a video guy within the NBA, gets an opportunity with the Warriors, finds a very specific niche with the Warriors, is able to hang around and do some things, becomes a champion. But since then, and even I think probably prior to that, he's one of those guys that to me, and I'll put him in the Giancarlo Stanton category, just feel like some guys out there are just almost too athletic for their bodies, and their bodies don't really know how to handle it. And it feels like GP2, because that dude can jump out the gym, and he's wildly athletic. And yeah, GP2 will not be playing tomorrow night, and he will, I don't know when the Warriors would get him again, even if they do win, it would not be on that Thursday or Friday. All right. Teased it enough. Draymond Green used the term when breaking down the Kings, and it's a term that I haven't heard before. Chris said he hadn't heard before. It makes sense when you hear it, so let's play it now. But it did feel a little disrespectful to me. Here it is.
They've definitely changed a little bit. I think we know this team pretty well, though, for the most part. Nobody's changing that much unless you just completely change the roster. And the mainstays in their roster are still there. So they're going to run a lot of things through Sabonis. Obviously, everything starts with the head of the snake, De'Aaron. And everybody else kind of gets there off those two guys. They're very much so a pattern team. Like, they got their things that they want to get to. And so, you know, going into the game and understanding that, what you know, the things that we'll be trying to take away and not let them get to those patterns. But, yeah, I mean, we know them well. They know us well. So it won't be no surprises.
A pattern team.
Yeah. I also don't know if I agree with Draymond. Like, I maybe he is just in media mode and he's just saying things just to say it. But I do think that this is a pretty significantly different Kings team than what they've seen. I would say from the Warriors side, it's pretty similar because of everything you laid out. Like, to me, all of the main characters are still the main characters on the Golden State side. Mm-hmm. Of course, De'Aaron and Sabonis are still there, but they play completely different. Again, like, the Kings are a lot more of a defensive-minded team since the last time they've played them, just out of necessity because Malik is out. I don't know if the Warriors, or at least Draymond, is properly prepared for the team he's going to get. I mean, ultimately, I think it shouldn't be that big of a difference for Golden State. But yeah, that's just really interesting comments there. And then about the pattern thing, about them being a pattern team, I still don't 100% know what he's referring to. At first, I kind of thought he was talking about how, you know, again, like in the NFL, they talk about throwing to spots and not necessarily throwing to, you know, like Brock Purdy throws to spots. He's not necessarily read and reacting and throwing to players. But it kind of sounds like he's more referring to, like, you know, Sabonis in the first quarter usually is more of a dictator, if you will, where he'll end the first quarter and have 6, 6, and 6. And then fourth quarter is De'Aaron Fox time. And in the second quarter, they like to run more pick and roll. That was my interpretation of what he was saying. But even then, I don't know if the Kings necessarily fall as victim to that as maybe what they would if they were at full strength.
I don't know. I think I kind of agree with Draymond when we're watching the offense, and it might be different people shooting, but with Kevin Huerter out, and I think that with Malik Monk, you were able to have more ISO play at the end of games, but leading up to, and obviously what Malik can do in the PNR, but I mean, we've sat here and we've talked about the fact that they get into their sets, the DHO,
yeah,
they run their stuff. That's how I took what Draymond was saying. They're going to run, just like we talked about, they're going to run their offense, and sometimes it looks like they're going through the motions. That's what I thought he meant by pattern team. They essentially just run their offense, and they get the shots out of their offense. That's pretty much who they are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. Like I said, I've never heard anyone use that terminology before. But you know, either way, it's going to be on it's going to be on the Kings to try and figure out the puzzle, because ultimately, I think that this is on the Kings to try and give them a different look. Like, if Draymond's expecting to see the same old thing again, I would just reiterate, you got to give them something different. Because if you give them the same thing that you've tried to give them in the past, I don't think you have the horses to get that done. You've got to play a completely different style. It shouldn't even be, you know, what you typically see from a Kings-Warriors matchup. I think if you're the Kings and you want to win this, you got to play a lot more like this is Kings or Warriors-Knicks or something like that. You need to try and muddy this up a bit. You need to try and get Golden State frustrated, not playing their flow offense, because I just fundamentally believe that if this is going to be a battle of or a matchup of who's got the better offense, I just don't think the Kings can win that game at all, really. I was going to say 9 times out of 10. I just don't think they can win it at all.
Probably not. I mean, we haven't seen, you know what's so funny about how hot the Kings have been getting and then how cold? If those spurts where the Kings are shooting 60% for a certain amount of time and then it just drops to 30, if you just shot like 40% for the whole game, you probably win, or 45%. Yeah, sure. So, the idea that the Kings can stay hot, the problem is they get so ridiculously hot. Everybody in the building knows that they're not going to be able to continue to perform like that, including the Kings. So now that the Kings know that, and look, this would go to Mike Brown as well, and we've seen people hop on the text line and the call line and say, when you have the lead, is there anything you can do to kind of milk it a little bit and not just continue to chuck up threes?
Get to the paint, man.
Something. If you do find yourself rocking and rolling and up 15 – up 20 against the Warriors, I would put it on Mike Brown to at least, now we won't know this until the post game, but to say, hey, you've blown a lot of these leads where you've gotten red hot, and continue to shoot the basketball, even when you start to cool off, has there been anything put in place to kind of burn some clock, chew some clock a little bit, and just get kind of when you look, if you stay that hot, cool. But when you call that first timeout, because from 20 they now cut it to 13, at that point in time, do you say, hey guys, let's go to X, Y, and Z? That's gonna be more inside shooting, maybe get fouled a little bit. And that's the other part of this that we haven't talked about yet either, Chris. You cannot be afraid to go to the foul line.
Yeah. No.
You know, and they've been shooting free throws better as of late. You got to continue it because you can't be afraid to go.
Yeah. No, you got to get to the rim. I think it all connects. Like, you got to get to the rim because they don't have a rim protector either. That was the thing last year. Kings didn't take advantage of it. This year with Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think he's about equal to a rim protector as Kevon Looney is. Mm-hmm. Davion Mitchell, he's been really good at hitting his perimeter shots, but also he's been great at attacking the rim. He's got to be the real enforcer to me. If anybody's going to attack the rim from the people that we aren't expecting, I think Davion's the most likely. Keegan, we've seen Keegan be aggressive at different times, and him getting to the rim. You want to talk about getting to the foul line? I'm looking at HB instantly. You know, it's we don't know what to expect out of Harrison Barnes in this game. We got a
he balled out last
yeah
the last
season
time?
High
in
season high in Golden in, State
yeah yes, at Chase Center
yes at Chase Center. We got a great performance out of Harrison Barnes. I don't know if we're going to get another 30-burger out of HB, but can he get to the line 6 times, 8 times? Can he get to the line 10 times? That would be huge for them, just slowing the game down, keeping the rhythm, maybe slowing down some runs on the Golden State side. And again, I'm looking at it here. The Kings have only scored over 110 points 3 times over their last 14 games. And that's, some of those are even with Malik Monk. So again, I would just reiterate, don't try and get into a shootout with this Golden State team. Lean into the team that you've become, and that's being a defensive-minded team, and try and keep them under 115. And that's how I think you have a chance, but you cannot abandon it. And the biggest thing about playing Golden State, and it was a huge thing last year, you cannot get down on yourself in these games, because that's really where the Warriors take their advantages emotionally. Steph starts hitting some threes, and what do they always – everybody wants to act gangster until Draymond hits a couple threes. That's how it is, man. Like, if Draymond hits 2 threes, mm-hmm. he's going to start getting loud. He's going to yell at the crowd. He's probably going to do something with his fingers, hopefully multiple, not one. You know, he's going to start feeling himself. You can't get down. You can't slump your shoulders and say, oh, this is where the run begins, because that's really, again, where Golden State wins these games in the past is emotionally they get you down. They start hitting threes. You start playing the, oh, they're hitting threes. That means we have to hit threes. And again, you just cannot keep up with these guys. So you've got to run your own race and just hope that last 5 minutes you got a chance. And that's really all you can ask for. I mean, control what you can control and you know, just try and slow down Warriors the best you can.
Coming up next, how worried are you about the officiating in tomorrow's game? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
From the 916, I think maybe some of this was taken out of context. 9 out of 10 Kings lose to the Warriors. You guys are somewhat clueless today. They took them to Game 7 last year and 2-2 this year. How can you make such an absurd comment? The line is only 1.5. Chris, do you want to clarify what you said?
Yeah. I just said at the end there, if the Kings want to get into a shootout with the Warriors, they will lose 9 out of 10. And then I actually corrected myself and said 10 out of 10 times.
Yes, a shootout.
Yes, a shootout. As in, if the Kings want to abandon defense and want to play a first one to 125 game, I'm just saying the Kings, again, haven't even scored. They've only scored over 110 points 3 times in their last 14 games. So that's what I'm saying, is if the Kings want to turn this back into offensive identity, let's just shoot threes, and we won't really be concerned about the defensive end, that can't be how they play, like they tried to play last year in the playoffs.
No.
You have to play more of the style that that you've played here recently. And, you know, yeah, you haven't gotten results, but I think you listed out the ratings. Offensive rating 9th, defensive rating 5th in their last 10 games, I think that is. You have to lean more into being a defensive team and try and hold the Warriors under 115 is what I was saying. If you want to score the 120s plus, that's just lending itself to a Warriors win.
And they're 2-2 this year, but Chris, I'm trying to think of
the order of it.
I'm trying to think of the guy's name that they had when they went 2-2. He plays for the Kings. Injured right now.
He's got the hum diddly thing, right?
He'll probably win Sixth Man of the Year. What's his name? Malik Monk.
Right.
They had Malik Monk.
I forgot about that.
So it's a completely different setup.
Whole different game.
Completely. This is about not getting into a shootout with them.
Yeah.
Not literally whether or not they have a chance.
Yes.
They have a better chance by not getting it into a shootout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even in general, I mean, I guess this is kind of leaning into a confidence meter, but like, Kings win 3 out of 10 times, 4 out of 10 times. This current group of guys, like if they were to play a 10-game series,
with this current group,
how would you feel? Obviously, what ends up happening happens.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I mean,
I would feel 3 is about as much as I'm comfortable saying.
Right. Well, really, it's just there's no counter. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just going to shoot threes and hope that they fall.
And you got to hope Golden State misses some, too.
You're hoping,
they can't be on.
You're hoping that Klay Thompson turns back into Klay Thompson. Yep. You're hoping, and it's just probably not going to happen that many times.
Yeah.
And then internally, you know, they have Draymond. They got this new kid, Trayce Jackson-Davis. So it just would be tough, you know, and It's not even a negative on the Kings. It's really just as much as how important two main rotation pieces are.
Yes, especially in these games, in big games. The biggest games of the season is when you lean on your best players the most.
Exactly, and you read off the numbers from the series last year with Malik Monk. He balled out, and I'm willing to bet he balled out in a couple of the games this year as well,
because game winner.
Malik is this is not just a Warrior thing.
No,
if the Warriors win, if the Kings win, and then the Kings have to play the Lakers, I'll be just
same
as worried.
Same conversation.
Because same Malik is a big game player.
Yep,
and he's been showing up in those games.
We'll say the Kings have beaten the Lakers 4 times this year, but all 4 have been with Malik Monk.
Yes.
And this time they might not have him. So.
And that just is what it is.
Yep.
You got to roll the ball out.
Yep.
It's not played on paper, but
we're not saying it's over. It's just not likely.
916-339-1140. Let's get to Matthew, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Matthew? What you got for us?
Hey, I just wanted to get on the coaching. Everyone was trying to get on the coaching about him.
Please.
I think the coaching about Mike Brown, I think they were getting on him because we don't have Monk, so these lineups we have are just kind of weird, and they're changing up. And if we definitely need Monk, and we definitely are scared of the Lakers because we've had them every win we've had against them. And how are we going to go 5-0 against them? If we're already 4-0. Chances are, we need Monk.
Yeah.
And to get back to the Mike Brown thing, they need to stop getting on him just because it's like he's dealing with Monk not being there, and other people are showing up, but our lineup is just constantly changing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Matthew.
Yeah, it is interesting down the stretch here. I mean, I think we do need to clear some time to give people a little bit of time to not be so emotional about it. But I am curious, when we get removed from this, how much is going to be, what's the revisionist history going to be? Is it going to be, give Mike Brown some slack. Like, they didn't have Malik. Give the team, not just Mike Brown, give the team some slack. They didn't have Malik. Or, like you said, I mean, I think it falls somewhere in the middle of they tricked off games when Malik and Kevin were both healthy. So, I definitely think, if anyone wants to be critical of these last 10 games, I definitely think that's not fair. But if you want to, bring it out to the entire season, I think there's more credence to that kind of conversation. But when it comes to Mike Brown, I feel like I've let my feelings be known.
Yeah, and I don't think Mike Brown is a perfect coach.
No.
You know, I think that you have to do the thing if you're going to have that conversation. You have to do the thing where you say, okay, and if Eric Spoelstra is the the top of the top, right? How many games would they have won with Eric Spoelstra?
Sure.
Yeah, they probably are not in the play-in. I'd be willing to say that.
I don't know. Miami's in the play-in.
That's true.
You know?
Who's got a better roster between Miami and Jimmy Butler? Always talking. He's still talking. Did you see what he recently said? He said,
I can't keep up.
Same thing. Nobody wants to play us right now. You know how we get down.
Okay.
Jimmy.
Jimmy. You're an 8 seed, buddy. Like,
and you haven't actually won anything.
That's a good point. It's a good point. He's been close. Not even really close. He's made it there.
He's made it there in the bubble.
Yeah.
He made it there after the bubble, and he has not won.
Nope.
I feel like Jimmy is actively trying to, and I really don't, I'm not really hating on it, but I feel like Jimmy is actively trying to fight ring culture by just crowning himself, yes. even though they haven't won anything.
He's Killmonger. Yes. Almost. He's like, this is your king. That's what he's here for. He's literally here to say, Jason Tatum, this is your king.
Right.
This is the guy that you, what about me? What about me? And it's like, well, you really probably shouldn't be our king either. But it's like, yeah, but definitely not this guy.
Right, right. Neither of us are, or we both are. Yeah, that's how it works. And, you know, I would be talking a lot of trash if I were Jimmy Butler.
For sure.
But you also haven't actually.
Right.
Done.
Yeah, I'm sure
anything.
LeBron's just laughing. He's like, okay, Jimmy. Like, you know, Jimmy's got his lane that he knows to fill, and that's let me make the big teams afraid of me.
Where was Jimmy on that tier list? Do you remember?
Good question. Because he should, I mean, he was the inverse of Sabonis. They were like, playoff performance might hurt some people like Domantas Sabonis, but it might help some people like Jimmy Butler. I'll check real quick. If I had to guess, do we think he's higher than De'Aaron?
Probably.
In that hierarchy?
I mean, he's been to a finals.
Right. It would make sense. If I had to guess, I would say he's probably like in that. I think De'Aaron was 2C. I would put Jimmy just like a tier above it. But I think ultimately, like, De'Aaron could have a very similar arc to a Jimmy Butler where he's always that guy where regular season, he's like, he's definitely top 10. Mm-hmm. Is he top 5 in for his position? Possibly, but in the playoffs, that's where he really shows how good of a player he is. I could see that being kind of where De'Aaron goes because, as we know, regular season, you know, he lets games slide off his back, all that stuff. Postseason, he clearly locks into a different level.
Yeah, and really, this is an opportunity, I think. This is a bigger opportunity for the Kings than the Warriors. The Warriors are expected to win, and I understand, I think that, the line is only 2, but the Warriors are expected to win. And they're expected to at least make a run at it. That is the expectation. We read from Monty Poole, it would be seen as a failure if the Warriors didn't get out of this. I think it would be seen as a failure if the Kings didn't get out of it, but just at a different level. Again, at least the Kings could say, we don't have Kevin Huerter. We don't have Malik Monk. The Warriors, they have Steph Curry. They have Klay. They have Draymond. They have their big three. We don't know if Kuminga's going to. Even if Kuminga doesn't play tomorrow, and we already know GP2 is not playing, I still think that you get out. If they got out of it, then you would eventually get Kuminga back. I don't think they care. I don't think Warriors fans or Warriors media cares whether or not you have Kuminga tomorrow night. Okay, this is where Steph, he lit the beam. Okay, he dropped 50. So, and I feel like the Warriors have more to lose than they have to gain. Yeah. But the Kings do have a lot to gain, and they should do their best, and I know that they will take advantage.
Can I get one quick little tease here for the top of the hour coming up? Sam Amick, our friend at The Athletic, released an interesting article this morning, coaching tiers. As I was looking for the player tiers to find where Jimmy Butler is, NBA postseason coaching tiers from Doc Rivers to Darvin Ham. What's at stake in the coming weeks? And has 3 different tiers.
There you go.
It'll be interesting to see where Mike Brown falls.
We want them to start coming in now. Call line, text line, sack chat. One word to describe the Kings regular season. One word. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.